Some of you may find it difficult to understand why so many tears could flow. You know, so much expressions of love among men of God. God puts something in your heart you can't get rid of.
Yes, sir.
When you're saved, the Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in your heart.
Right.
And that sets you on a journey loving God's people. But God puts some special kind of love in the heart of for preachers of the gospel.
Amen.
For men who will be faithful.
Amen.
So that's what this is all about. And you might be sitting back there saying, what's going on? You can't read about it in a book.
Yes, sir.
You won't learn about it in class. It just... something God does when you're having to labor by side. And even though we've been separated by miles, yet there is a sense in which there is a co-laboring in the kingdom of God. We have our own separate and distinct churches, our own separate and distinct ministries over the years. Yet God has put a common cause and a common battle in the heart. And there is an appreciation that develops. Not because of a man's talents, but simply because God is using him.
Amen.
Just because God's using him. We learn to appreciate men. And churches.
Yes,
learn to appreciate churches that God uses. And hold those churches in high esteem. A multitude of churches in San Antonio. Multitudes in this city.
Yes, sir.
But not everyone is being used of God. And it may offend some of you. I don't mean to offend you. But not every one of them are being used of God. And so we find one that God is using, and the man of God that God is using, and there's something about that you greatly esteem. And it has nothing to do with the church or the pastor. It just has something to do with the fact that God has taken up this assembly in His hands, as an instrument in His hands, to use it for His own namesake and glory.
Amen.
That's what makes it special. That's what makes it special. I've had the great privilege of preaching to four people. And the great privilege of preaching to over 5,000 in India, 1990. Which was the greater privilege, Brother Pat? Just gather a handful of people and preach. That's a privilege, brother. That's a privilege. But it's a blessing to be here tonight. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul is returning to the church at Antioch where he had been sent out. And on his way back, he is stopping off at the churches that he had organized and established. And he's preaching to them. And I believe this message is a good message. A good exhortation. Because it's in the Word of God, first. But because it's addressed to a church, second. It's a particular message addressed to a church. And to the elder of that church. Verse 22, the history, the account says that they were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that they through much tribulation shall enter into the kingdom of God. Now, one of the last times I was here, not this last conference, but before that, I preached on the latter part of that text, that they should, that we through much tribulation shall enter in the kingdom of God. This evening I want to come up to the first part of the text where Paul is exhorting them to continue in the faith.
Amen.
Paul is exhorting them to continue in the faith. This is a message I think that is critical whether the church is 1 year old or 5 years old or 20 years old. Is it possible for a Sovereign Grace Baptist church established on solid biblical doctrine to fall away from the faith? Is it?
Yes.
Is it possible for a man of God who stood for 20 years and preached the truth to fall away from the faith? Yes. Yes. It's a fearful thing, brother. And there go we, but by the grace of God tonight. And Paul understands the necessity for this exhortation. Continue. Continue. Brother Joe's already used some of my verses. You're going to hear him again. You're going to hear him again. Continue in the faith. This is the summary of Christian life. We began by believing in Jesus Christ, the truth. He is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We began our Christian life by believing in Jesus Christ, the truth.
Amen.
We read about Him or heard about Him in the truth of God's Word.
Yes.
And we didn't understand much about the truth, but then we began to grow and understand the truth. And we began to see truth and lay aside error. And we began to be rooted and grounded in that truth. Now Paul says to this church, he hasn't seen them in a while. He says, I want you to know that there's a lot of trials ahead of you. Troubles around every corner. Struggles and difficulties. You continue in the faith. You continue in the faith. That's the summary of our Christian life. What we have in the beginning, we're to continue in. And then we will end with it. If we continue in it. It's easy to get started.
Right.
It is.
Right.
Brother Joe, it's easy to start.
Yes.
It is extremely hard to keep going.
Yeah.
It is hard. And Paul understands this. And so he's preaching, you continue. Not only is it a summary of the Christian life, but it is certainly a summary of church life. Brother Joe has already alluded to it. The necessity of continuing to hear the Word of God preached, to lay the foundation. Peter said that I write these things. He said, I'm summarizing here. He said, just so that when I'm gone, you have some thing by which you can be brought into remembrance.
Right, right.
I want you to remember what I've taught you. So I'm writing it down so when I die, and he was going to die soon, you have something to read so you can remember. And so every Sunday is a time of bringing you into remembrance.
Right.
Of those things that we are to believe and hold to and those things that we are to live for. And so this is a summary of church life. It's certainly a summary of a pastor's ministry, continuing the faith. What is our ministry, brother, unless it's that we are preaching the truth in love to the souls of men? Continue in the faith. Continue believing the Lord Jesus Christ. It is possible to fall away. The Scripture gives us warning after warning of those who turn aside, those who go back to perdition. Hebrews chapter 10, the text in Hebrews, Paul is warning the professing believers in Jerusalem, and he says to them in verse 36, for you have need of patience And that word patience comes from a Greek word that just talks about a cheerful endurance. You don't often put the word enduring and cheering, cheerful together, but it's the Greek word that has this idea of cheerful endurance. You have need of patience, endurance, and you have need of patience that after that you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. After you've done it.
Yes.
After you've completed it. And he goes on and says in verse 37, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. And we'll not tarry." And we're still waiting for Him to come. And He is coming.
Right.
It's been a while, but He is coming.
Yes.
And there are scoffers that say He won't. But He is. He is the truth. And He said, "I will come back." And so I don't believe He's a liar tonight. He's not a man that He should lie.
Right.
He will come. Now, He says in verse 38, "The just shall live by faith." But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition. It is possible for someone to profess to believe to draw back to perdition. It is possible. Thus the necessity of the exhortation to continue. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe. It doesn't come across in the English, but in the Greek word here, the idea of believe is continue to believe. Always the translation of the word believe has the idea of continuing. Not only, we don't look back to a time when we believed, past tense, but we believe. And tomorrow we believe, the next day, and the next week, and the next month, and the next year, we continue to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. We continue to trust Him. We walk by faith and not by sight. We continue to believe He will save us from our sins.
Amen.
Continue in the faith. Continue to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Lay hold on Him and do not let go. He lays hold on you too.
Amen.
But faith lays hold on Christ.
Right.
Paul, to the Hebrews, said he had not yet apprehended that which he had been apprehended for, or for which he had been apprehended. God had laid hold on him, but he hadn't yet gained, come into possession of that which God had laid hold on him for. So he was pressing. He was continuing. But not only continue in the faith, that is, continue in believing in salvation, but continue in the faith.
Right.
The faith.
Amen.
Not only continue believing, continue faithful to Christ, but continue in the faith.
Right.
Now that article, that the faith, that definite article there defines it for us. Paul is saying this is what you're to continue in. What is it, Paul? It's the faith.
Yes.
It's the Word of God. It's the Apostles' doctrine. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 says, "They continued steadfastly in the Apostles' doctrine." And where did the Apostles get it from? They got it from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is recorded for us in this book.
Amen.
Continue in the faith.
Amen.
This is it. Right here.
Amen.
And that is critical for us, brethren. I've been saved since 1975. Praise the Lord for that. God has helped me. But God has helped me with this book. Because my emotions have been here and there. Right? Huh? And I've had Sunday mornings where I preached my heart out and it seems like glory came down. And I've had Sunday mornings when I preached my heart out and it felt like the words were hitting a brass wall right here and hit me in the face. You've been there, brother. And we've had prayer times where we felt like we could touch the very portals of heaven. And then we've had prayer times when it felt like our words were falling on the ground. All of us have experienced that. If you've walked with Christ at any time at all, you know what I'm talking about. And so what keeps us stable is not our emotions. What keeps us stable is this book.
Amen.
This is the Word of God. God spoke it Men wrote it. God preserved it.
Yes.
Man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus Christ said, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Came out of God's mouth. And God speaks to us through it.
Yes.
And there's truth here. And it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Continue by a constant focus upon God's Word. Not the words of men. I've got a good library, Brother Joe. You got a good library. I remember one time we were in a bookstore, and Brother Joe and I were looking. He was coming from this way, and I was coming from this way, and we met right here. And there's a book, and Joe said, "It's mine."
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Don't go to bookstores with that man. You'll come out the loser. Oh, I said, "You can have it. He's just an Armenian anyway." Oh. But all those books are just the words of men. Good men. Hmm?
Amen.
Some good men.
Yes.
But they're still just the words of men.
Right.
And I read them, and so do y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still just the words of men.
Right.
And what we need is the Word of God.
Yes, amen. Amen.
That we cannot do without.
Amen.
You know, our brother Paul did without a library. He had a few books,
yes,
some parchments.
Yes, he did.
But they could be carried to him pretty easily. It would be difficult to carry my library to me.
Yes.
If I was in India or somewhere. Bring my books. No, don't ask me to bring your books. I'll take your coat for you, but don't ask me to bring those books. To take a U-Haul trailer.
Oh, yeah.
It would be difficult. Whatever Paul had, it was small enough to be carried. Not much. But he did have one thing. He had the Word of God. Continue in the faith. Not the tradition of our religion, but in the faith. Not even the blessings of last Sunday's meeting. But in the faith.
Yes, sir.
In the faith.
Amen.
And then this continuing prayer. Brother Joe brought that up also. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians chapter 4. First, Paul said in Acts 14:22, continuing the faith. Then, writing to this church at Colossae, a church, by the way, that he'd never visited, but heard about them, so he sat down to pen them a letter. He writes to them and says in chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. I appreciate what you said, Brother Joe, about prayer. We need these times of prayer. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus Christ said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we are prone to fainting. And the battle, we can become weary in the battle. And we need to pray and continue in prayer. Sometimes we get to the place in our Christian life where we feel like, okay, we've got this momentum going. And because we got this momentum going, we don't spend so much time anymore here, and we don't spend so much time anymore there. Right? Because we got this kind of thing going. God, help us to understand that if we have accomplished anything, it's owed solely to His grace.
Yes, amen.
And He has helped us. And prayer is a means by which God bestows more grace. Prayer is a means by which doors open. Prayer is a means by which sinners can come to faith in Jesus Christ. Hang on here. In Romans chapter 10, Paul is writing. And he says, my desire and prayer for Israel.
Yeah.
Is that they might be saved.
Yeah,
Can we pray for lost people? Yes. Yes. Will our prayers change the mind of God? No. So how does it work, Brother Pat? I don't know. I don't know. But God said for us to pray. And I believe Him. And He said, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. And He says, ask. And He says, knock. And He says, seek. And He said, if you keep on doing those things, doors will be opened. And things will happen. I don't know how it works together with the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. I can't give you the formula. I can't explain it theologically. But I know this. God has called upon us to pray. I know God must regenerate the soul. But unless a man calls upon the name of the Lord, he will not be saved. Put those two things together. We can lay out some kind of little theological foundation for it. But in the end, the mystery of how God works in the heart of a sinner to turn it and his mouth cries to Christ from the heart for salvation is still that, just a mystery.
Yes, it is.
Yes. It's still that. When people accept themselves to praying and God begins to answer, it is a mystery. But it is a blessing. And so pray. Pray for one another, James said. James chapter 5 verse 16. Pray ye one for another. Church, pray for each other. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for your pastor. He prays for you. Pray for others. Pray. You have no idea what God might do. We have no idea. And finally, another verse mentioned, but the text not referred to. John chapter 15, verse 9. Sometimes we preachers throw out verses. We don't give you the text. We throw out the text. You say, oh yes, I remember that because I've read it, right? Now I'm going to give you the text. John chapter 15, verse 9. John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. Continue. Continue in the faith. Continue in prayer. Continue in my love. Now what Jesus is teaching here is not continue loving me. Now we should. But that's not what this text is teaching. He says, you continue in my love for you. Continue in the knowledge and the awareness and the sense and the understanding that I have set my love upon you. That before the foundations of the world, for no reason in you, I chose to love you. And I chose to save you. And gather you together. I chose to call you. I chose to build a church in this place. Out of my heart of love for this community, I would set a truth in this place, a lighthouse in the midst of darkness because of my love. Continue in my love. That is, continue in an awareness that I love you. A lot of preaching goes the other direction. You keep on loving God. But Jesus is saying, you keep on remembering that I love you. Amen. Brethren, I cannot tell you how important this is. When the evil one is breathing down your neck and you smell his foul breath upon you as he's chasing you like a hound chases a rabbit. When you've fallen into the ditch, into the miry clay. And you find yourself weak and failing. When you find yourself not able to rise to that which just yesterday you were able to rise to do. And the evil one sits on your shoulder and says, are you sure? Huh? You sure you're a brother? You sure you're Christian, you sure you believe in Jesus Christ? Ah, no Christian would ever do that. No Christian would ever think like that. Huh? And those moments, our love for Christ has fallen to the ground. But His love for us has not.
Amen.
His love for us has not. And this is something that many, many Christians fail to grasp. That once God has ever set His love upon you, He is never going to change. The love of Christ for the soul of a sinner is immutable, unchangeable. Ours is up and down, hot and cold. His never wavers.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Never. He doesn't say, man, number 726 times in the last 20 years. He never says that. He doesn't keep track, brother, because it's on the blood of Christ. Those are things that are hard for us to grasp. It's hard to live in the light of that truth. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend.
Amen.
Jesus Christ has laid down His life for His friends.
Yes,
for sinners. Not for what they had done for Him, or because of anything they would ever do for Him.
Right.
Not because they would remain faithful for 20 years. No.
No.
In fact, they have remained faithful for 20 years because He has loved them.
Amen.
And to become aware and to live in a sense, when I rise in the morning and when I go to bed at night, that God has loved me from before the foundations of the earth. He has known my end from my beginning. When He saved me, He knew all those things, Brother Joe.
Yes, I did.
He knew them all, Brother John. He knew them before the foundation of the world. He knew them when He began to pursue me. He knew them when He apprehended me. He knew those things back then. His love has not changed.
Amen.
I haven't been a surprise to Him. All my failures has not been a surprise to Him. All my sin has not surprised Him. He knew. He gathered them up. He laid them on His Son. He judged Jesus Christ for those things. Keep yourself in the love of God. Continue there. There is joy. There is comfort. There, at His right hand, are pleasures forevermore. There. There we can keep on. There we get up the next day and press on, Brother Joe. There, whatever happens, whatever discouragements, whatever difficulties, there we continue. Because we know He's faithful. He's faithful. Paul argues with the Romans, what can separate you from the love of God? And his conclusion? Nothing. Nothing.
Amen. Amen.
Not one thing. Because God is unchanging, His love is unchanging. Loved with everlasting love. That's what the songwriter said. Led by grace, that love to know. He closes out that first, I am His and He is mine. I am His and He is mine. Continue there. Continue there. 20 years is a blessed, blessed privilege. It is an amazing testimony to God's grace and God's faithfulness. an amazing testimony to God's work in Pastor Joe and in this church. Our hearts ought to be thrilled. We ought to rejoice. Give God the glory. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank You, Lord, that You loved us enough. You loved us, chose us, redeemed us, quickened us, and kept us to this hour.
Yes, sir.
And You organized, and I will build My church.
Yes, sir.
You built it.
Yes.
And have built it until this hour.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Keep yourself there. Lord bless you, brother.
Yes.